our meeting, Afton Town Council, December 8th. A little different, we do have some participants in Zoom. We would ask, there is one that's just a phone number, if they would allow us their name so we can put it on our minutes. They can choose to do so at this time.
JC, it's Barbara.
Okay. Okay.
There's somebody that just called in, but we don't know who it is.
We have a different number, 887-2272. It's not required yet.
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, that's...
Oh, okay, no, that's me, sorry.
Okay, thank you. All right. We'll move forward, call the meeting to order. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. There's enough of us here that we'll do that. Tom, could you lead us in there?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Tom. I would call for a motion to adopt the agenda as stated, or anything to add before we do that, actually. Sorry, anything to add to the agenda before we adopt it? No, none at this time? I would call for a motion to adopt the agenda as stated, December 8th, 2020.
I move to adopt the agenda.
Seconded?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Consent agenda items, we can approve them individually or approve them together. Approve minutes from the regular Afton Town Council meeting held November 10th. Approve business licenses and building permits issued through November 2020. And approve Town of Afton bills for a period ending November 30th, 2020. Call for that motion.
I'll move to approve as written, all three.
Seconded?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Violet, this time we'll turn it over to Joan Simpkins and do our audit report and let you steer out.
Jason, we should be able to hear you. Okay.
Are you going to want me to share my screen?
Yeah, if you're prepared to do that, I can do that.
What was that, sorry?
If you're prepared to share your screen, that's what we can do, or I can...
I am, it says it's disabled, I don't know.
No, that's why I'm just trying to check here. Yeah, you should be able to.
Okay, yep, that looks like that's going to work.
Okay.
There should be some financial statements up. Can you see those?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. My name is Jason Slight. I'm an audit partner with Joan Simpkins. We're based out of Logan, Utah. And we served as the auditors of the town this last year. Believe it or not, this is actually the first presentation I've done over Zoom. I've been able to do a lot in person, and so hopefully we can get through this without too many hiccups. To start, I just want to thank the town for letting us continue to serve you, and also like to just tell you how great of staff you have working for you. We really enjoyed working again with Violet and Lisa and Sadie. They were very responsive and very helpful during our audit. We were there on site for most of a week and before and after, asking questions through email and different things. And we looked at a lot of stuff, and they're always very good at dropping everything and letting us ask them questions and work through things. And it's not fun to go through an audit, and so we really appreciate their help. I just wanted to go through, first off, the reporting, our audit report. So the financial statements are the town's financial statements. And what our role is we come in and audit, and we issue an opinion on whether those financial statements are presented correctly. We don't give an absolute 100% correctness opinion. If we were to do that, we'd have to look at everything. But what we do is we take a risk-based approach and we sample and review quite a few documents still and issue an opinion based on that risk-based approach. Management's responsible for providing us with all the information we need to do that. In our auditor's report, we issue, in a governmental situation, several opinions. In a for-profit company, there's just one opinion for that company and its financial statements. In a government, there's multiple opinion units. There's the fund financial statements, there's the government-wide financial statements, and so for each fund, the water, the sewer, the golf, the general fund, fire fund, we have different opinions that we issue. All of those are combined in this one report. And in this report, in this, we've issued our opinions that all of those opinion units for which we are rendering an opinion are, the financial statements are presented materially correct and fairly and in accordance with accounting principles generally accepted in the United States of America. So basically, we're these financial statements are materially correct. We also issue a report, I'll jump back to the end, about internal control over financial reporting. This is required by government auditing standards. In this, we don't test controls, but we obtain an understanding of controls, policies that are in place, processes. We walk through those as part of our audit and gaining an understanding of those, and also as part of our procedures, and we identify whether or not, or we indicate whether or not we identified any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies in internal control. The town has a small number of staff, and the best control that you can get anywhere is segregation of duties, where not one person is performing every task. In a situation where you have a small number of individuals, that's a little bit more difficult to do. However, there are mitigating controls that can be established that include different people performing different roles from reconciliations. The same person that does the reconciliation is not signing checks. The same person that's making deposits isn't opening the mail, things like that. Also, in a small environment, management, a good control is the involvement of management and those that are governing, the council, the mayor. And based on our review and our understanding of the town's controls, we feel like, you know, the town actually has a really good system. It is smaller, so it's a little bit more difficult to have segregation of duties, but by having separate people sign checks and separate people perform reconciliations, and also by doing your regular meetings and holding those on a regular basis and having the financial information presented to the council and to the mayor, that is meeting the requirements. And so we've not identified any significant deficiencies or material weaknesses in your controls. So those are the reporting requirements that we are required to meet as your auditors. And then the rest of these pages are your financial statements. There's the basic financial statements, there's notes to those financial statements, and then there are there's supplementary information. Some of it's required, some of it is just supplemental information that's been presented for the financial statement users, which include the state, the town, it's the council, and then any other users like citizens of the town. And I just wanted to go over just a few highlights that we noticed during the year and maybe do some comparisons to some previous years. So on the other side of the screen, I've put together some basic charts of the last 3 years. In the general fund, you can see your revenues are on the far left. The town has been very consistent over the last 3 years. In fact, 2020 compared to 2019 is within $20,000. And that's even with COVID happening. And, you know, sales tax were down this year by about $105,000 when compared to last year. A good part of that reduction did happen when we received the confirmation from the State Department of Revenue in the months of February, March, and April, which is in line with kind of the nationwide responses that have happened because of COVID. But overall, I think that says, I mean, it shows the strength of the town and its revenue sources that it was able to maintain revenues even with this pandemic going on. Expenditures, the same thing. They're very consistent with the last 2 years. 3 years ago, there were some large capital projects that had higher costs than capital projects that were incurred in the last few years, which is why it was so much higher. But the town has been able to stay within its budget. It's been careful in making its financial decisions and capital projects. In fact, this last year, there was really just one major capital project, which was the Madison Street, roughly just over $400,000 in capital outlay related to that. And then the other category, what that is that's just other stuff, transfers between funds. A loan was obtained back in 2018, and loans, even though they're a loan, in fund accounting, that's considered revenue. Those proceeds are considered revenue. So that's why that's so much higher in 2018. And then our change in fund balances is your net income. And net income at in the general fund was $226,000 this year. That's revenues, less expenses, less any other transfers or other income. Any questions on the general fund or?
Council? No questions at this time.
Okay, great. The fire department fund was very consistent, and not a lot of activity there, so I think we'll bypass that and jump to the water fund. The water fund is a proprietary fund, which in governmental accounting is one that is supposed to basically operate like a business. It should charge enough to cover its costs. You can see here in the charts, it's been consistent for the last 3 years. Our revenues are very consistent. Our expenses are very consistent. The other amounts are interest expense, which is the 2 years that have the negative amount. So that's interest on loans. And the positive year would have been a grant of some sort for a water project last year. But you can see very consistent. At the end of the day, there's a net loss this year in the water fund of $67,000. Now, a huge chunk of that is depreciation expense, which is non-cash. That's depreciation on your water fund assets, like your water lines, infrastructure, water meters, things like that. If that's added back in, you actually have net income of, I don't know, $250,000. We like to see that, though, as accountants, because what's happening is you're basically covering future replacement costs. You know, if those assets need to be maintained or replaced by charging enough to cover depreciation, you're setting aside funds to be able to do that in the future. Any questions on the water fund?
No, go ahead.
Sewer fund, same thing. A small loss in the year, but a lot of that's attributed to depreciation. I think this is a good thing for management to look at and again decide, are you charging enough to cover your costs, and are you setting enough aside for future replacement of assets? And I would say it's the same as the water fund. Cost this year did go up a little bit. There was some additional payroll costs this year in the sewer fund. And then finally, the golf fund. I think the highlight there is revenues actually increased by 20,000 this year. The majority of the loss is due to depreciation, similar to sewer and water fund. There is a transfer that was made from the general fund, almost like a subsidy, to cover some of the differences between revenues and operating expenses, salaries, and other costs. But again, there was with expenses staying consistent, and revenues increasing, it had a better year than last year. So those are the funds, and then if we look at the government as a whole, combine everything, I just thought I'd point out a few things. Your governmental activities, that's your general fund, that's your administration, your public works, public safety, parks and rec, just looking at just assets and liabilities and equity, your total assets exceed your liabilities by about 10.4 million. So you've got equity of 10.4 million. Now of that, 8.4 of that is made up of capital assets that are not liquid.
Buildings.
And then 2 million of that is liquid assets, less liabilities. We've talked in the past a lot about the net pension liability. That's a number that adjusts each year based on actuarial studies and information provided by Wyoming Retirement Systems.
Hey, can we
decrease this year?
Sir, yeah. Can we just touch base on that so it's understand we necessarily don't have that liability as a city, because when we send Wyoming Retirement money in behalf of employee, they carry the cost. We just give contributions. But because of a new law, we had to book this back on our books, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Several years ago, there was a new standard that said every city or town that participates in a pension plan needs to report their proportionate share of the liability.
Right.
But it's not like Wyoming Retirement System is going to come to the town of Afton and say, hey, you need to pay us $927,000. That adjusts each year based on contributions. If Wyoming ever felt like they were in a bad position and they weren't going to be able to meet the future payouts, what they'll do is they'll say, we need every participant to contribute more, like you said, Mayor. And so, yes, you're exactly right. And it decreased last year because 2019 had a good year in the stock market. And this is based on a calendar year study. Any other questions with that?
No, but I would make note, just from my understanding from my different job, state of Wyoming is number one in the union as far as almost, well, they'll be fully funded in the Wyoming. So any employee here, they do increase contributions by a quarter point for the next 4 years. But if you look at the reports, Wyoming is number one in the union as far as being funded for retirement.
Yeah, Wyoming is they've done a really good job at managing it. You can see, I've got the schedule here. These are the statewide, those numbers at the bottom are the statewide numbers. And these are a little bit old because we're back in December. But law enforcement, 90% funded. There's places in California that are like 30% funded or less. So you're right, yes, Wyoming has done a wonderful job. Then we can jump to the business type activities. It's very similar. I mean, your assets exceed your liabilities significantly. The majority of your equity is in non-liquid assets, sewer lines, water lines, things like that. And then when you take the liquid assets of cash and subtract out liabilities like debt, things like that, you're still in a positive position of almost $1 million in unrestricted equity or net position. So those are the highlights. This last one shows critical assets and liabilities. You know, your cash has been very consistent in the last several years. Your assets, the movement there is you add assets and then they depreciate. And then you can see your long-term debt is decreasing each year as you make payments. That's mostly what I wanted to go over. Were there any questions or any concerns?
I don't have any counsel. Violet, do you want to add anything or?
I would just say one of the increases that came about in payroll and utilities department had to, came from somebody electing benefits that didn't previously. So just to make you guys aware of that, in case anybody was concerned about that.
Thank you.
And that was in the sewer fund, Violet?
Yes.
I would just, highlight to point out for the town has been in good positions. There is cash in the bank. As it shows, our balance 2.7, but we added 226,000. We have typically, which we'll do in our budget, which we'll adopt in a couple of months. We have looked at taking half of what we put in the savings and move the other half forward to do capital, to do projects, road projects. We'll continue that conversation, but Violet, thanks. It's money in the bank. It's been a positive number, so appreciate that. I don't have anything else. If you don't, we can let you kick out, or if Violet wants to continue or dismiss, it's up to you.
I don't know.
If I may, one more comment, I guess. I don't know. Is the town expecting to receive CARES money? Have you received it since year end? CARES Act money?
I'll let you answer.
We wrote for a grant through SLIB, who are the ones distributing the CARES Act funding to municipalities in the state of Wyoming. We wrote for $45,000, just because we thought that was a good estimate for our potential, what we had currently spent on PPE and some other things for the town of Afton. We did have our first payout of about $16,000, but other than that, we don't have anything else currently pending that we've already paid for. So we've got until December 15th, which is the deadline for the last request on our $45,000 allocation that we were approved for. So we might have a couple more come in from then, but I'm guessing that we're probably really only gonna receive about $18,000 in the general fund. And then from the Wyoming Office of Tourism, we received about $10,000 in funding to help with advertising and promotion of things like Shopping Safe, Shopping Smart, things like that. But that's really awesome.
So based on those figures, it shouldn't affect or require any future or different compliance requirements. You're just not going to take you above the threshold of $750,000. I just thought I'd warn you just in case. I didn't know. Different states are doing it differently. Like Idaho's a little bit different. Utah's a little different. Utah just sent out money and said, "Here, spend this if you want it, or send it back." So it just depends on how they're doing it.
No, municipalities weren't really on the list at a governor level and a Wyoming level, so no.
Well, the town of Afton was actually allocated through the SLIB allocation for about $400,000, but there's just no way we'd ever spend that.
Use it. Use it on approved purchases or approved development.
Okay, well, that's all I have. Thank you again, and thanks for giving me the time to do this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jason. We'll kick you off, and then we'll move. Barbara, are you still there?
I am.
All right. Go ahead, Barbara. The floor is yours.
Great. Violet, can I share my screen?
Yeah, you should have the ability to. I allowed everybody to be
okay.
Able to do so.
All right, let's see here. I don't know if you guys can see it.
We can see it, Barbara.
Okay, I just wanted to thank you for your time tonight. I appreciate it. I wanted to, as we're wrapping things up, share a few statistics and progress and really just thank you all for your patience and your support through this. So wanted to share a few cool statistics with you and let you know if this does not change. We good? Does it change?
Yep.
We're good.
Okay.
We're good.
So these are a few of the statistics that we've shared internally. So we had 88 construction days. Typically, Silver Star does about an $8 million capital build over over the course of a year. So with 88 construction days, we will have placed over $17 million in capital investment into the Upper Star Valley. So in Aston, you've heard me talk before, we've placed over $1 million in community stimulus with the revenue going to lodging, food, gas. We've had some of our contractors that purchased vehicles here. We have placed 1.8 miles of conduit per day on average and a mile and a half of fiber per day on average. We have almost 9,500 internal labor hours for the folks that have been assigned to the CARES project, and then we've averaged about 40 customer activations per day. In the town of Aston, and Jeff Jensen has to take credit for these maps, he's done a fantastic job on these. Wanted to show you the before of the Upper Valley and the after of the Upper Valley. So on the left, you can see that orange line that goes through. That was really our transport fiber. We had a fiber line that went down Mill Stream to our cell tower. We had Rockbridge that had fiber, but for the most part, it was pretty empty. On the right, and this is not complete, we don't have it all filled in yet, is what the Upper Star Valley is going to look like. All of the red lines and the orange lines are now fiber. So it's a substantial difference in the community. So in the town of Aston, we had 832 signups. We have completed 818 paths for potential turnups. We haven't completed all the turnups yet, but we will at the end of this have completed 818 turnups. We have a few pending, and those are the areas like Second Street that drop down to Star Valley Disposal, Swift Creek Lane, and then the Temple. These are the areas that we opted not to do just based on the timing and the weather. We felt like we could do more damage than good. We thought we were wearing thin on your patients. So. But again, we've placed over $3 million just in the town proper. And that was at no charge to any of the residents or the town. So that's pretty substantial. And the cool part is Aston is one of only three all-fiber communities in the state of Wyoming that I'm aware of. We have Baggs, Wyoming, and you have Moreland, Wyoming, and Aston. So that is, I hope everybody understands how significant that is for the town of Aston. And you are one of the only ones in the town that can do, or in the state that can do 10 gig speed, and that's residents or business. So these are pretty substantial milestones for the town as well. I also wanted to share, and I apologize, Jason Nelson is here with me as well. He's been the lead on the town project, so if you have questions, he's here to answer any of those. But this is an inspector app, and Jeff and a young intern created and developed this inspector app just for this project. And every one of those addresses represents a home or a business. And it's really hard to kind of decipher what that is because there are so many. And so overall, Silver Star, we had about an 85% take rate from customers in the Upper Valley. So just people were really begging for the additional speed. And I know you guys would be interested in this. Time to wrap up. So when we started this on 11/12, which is when I put this map together, we were finishing filing. Our goal was to finish by Thanksgiving. We wanted to make sure all the fiber was in and the main cable was spliced in, and then we were really working on installs. So here we are right before 12/10, 12/8, and we are all but done digging. I think we have a little bit to wrap up tomorrow, but our goal was by tomorrow to have completely all of our digging done. We are still splicing, and we are on the last couple legs of fiber, really on some side legs and some of the subdivisions. And we're really just focusing on continuing the installs and getting those wrapped up. Our final report and our deadline is 12:30 to the state. So we think we'll be doing installs right up until that date, but for the most part, we'll be substantially complete. And we will have that report to the state of Wyoming in by the end of the year. So it's been a very successful project because of you guys and your support and your patience. And honestly, your staff, I know we have been a burden to them a little bit, but they have just done a fantastic job. Chris quick response. I can't say enough good about the town and what you guys have done to support us. So again, thank you. I'm happy to take questions. Jason's here with me. Happy to answer anything as well.
Thank you, Barbara. Any questions from the council?
A big thank you.
Yeah,
Tom shouts out a big thank you. Thank you, Barbara.
And Barbara, this is Violet. I just want to reiterate to you that Jason, hopefully you can hear this too, that it was good to work with Jason Nelson. He was really good as the project lead for the town of Afton. And in regards to working with him, he was very responsive and very receptive to any of the concerns that we had. And so it was really good to work with him on this project. So thank you, Jason.
Thank you very much.
All right, we'll move to the next on our delegation, Chief Romberg, discussion of new statewide health orders. Come on up, Chief.
Well, good evening, all. I'm going to try to make this hopefully quick. As we all know, we've been given another public health order, and obviously I think the town council knows the last month, I feel like I've been walking a tightrope of how to best approach these. And first of all, on this last round, I want to say thank you to the council for your support. It meant a lot. And again, so what I have done on this next round, specifically to the businesses that are affected by having to close at 10 o'clock, I have gone around today and talked to those business owners and have asked them basically to police themselves. With that, they have told me they will abide by the mandate. Now, I know we'll probably get some issues that arise. We will deal with that as they come. I guess my question to you, Town Council, are you good with that approach? And I just want us all on the same page.
It's a big gun you just gave us. Jeff?
I like that. I think that at this point in time, people should be policing themselves.
Okay. Abby?
I agree, and I just thank you for handling it so well
thank you.
I'm sure it's a huge weight on your shoulders to carry daily. So
when I went home last night, as I told Violet, I spent most of the night worrying about how I was going to approach it, and I came up with the way, and it was very well received. I've learned we can get more done with honey than we do with vinegar.
Absolutely. Well, thank you.
Agreed, Tom?
Thank you for your efforts. Appreciate you.
Violet, then legal counsel?
I don't have anything to say. Chief and I have discussed this in length together and how we wanted to approach it, and we just wanted to make sure that the council was comfortable with the way that we wanted to handle it, so that way if it does come to an enforcement issue, then we will have to act on that.
Okay. Legal?
That sounds like a great plan. I'm just wondering, if someone calls to report a violation, let's say somebody calls and says, hey, it's 11:30, people are parking a block away, coming in the back door or whatever, is that something you would respond to and maybe, who knows, write a warning, give them a warning or something?
Yeah. We've actually talked about that with respect. We plan on this. It probably will happen. We're praying it don't. But what we will be doing is making direct contact with that business owner the following day to say, this is what we got, this is the complaint, and address it as such.
Chief, I'm going to say thanks. I appreciate you actually going directly to them. I'm with you. I think we'll move forward as a town allowing businesses to police themselves. This is done at a state level, not done at a city level, so we'll continue just to hold our stance at that. So
thank you.
I appreciate that.
Really. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there any other questions I can answer if any council member has any?
I don't. Anybody? Thanks, okay. Chief.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mayor, I know that we keep adding things to the agenda, and I don't want to add anything. I'm just wondering if we can move this.
Yep.
So down under continuing business, we had the First Avenue Traffic Feasibility Study that we were going to discuss.
Okay.
And since Jason with Sunrise Engineering is here, I'm wondering if you want to just slip him in as a D underneath delegation so he could cover that real quickly for us.
I'm fine with that.
And he's comfortable with that.
You good?
Are you comfortable with that?
Cancel, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll move on to letter D, delegations, First Avenue Traffic Feasibility Study.
Thanks, Mayor. We wanted to discuss this too while Chief was still here, and so he could leave as well. Jason Linford, Sunrise Engineering. We've collected the data to complete the First Avenue traffic study. And I just brought that data here tonight, and it really confirms exactly what the Chief of Police has been telling you. The first page, just want to bring your attention to the middle. Everybody should have this somewhere in front of them. Mayor, there it is.
Did we get extra copies? Or
yeah, here.
Do we want to pass it around to the people in the
audience? I've got one extra copy. Anybody care for one?
Thank you.
So this, the first page is eastbound traffic, and the average is 26 miles per hour. You're going uphill. People aren't in as big of a hurry, but majority of people are speeding. I'm just going to go really quick, and then we can talk some more about it at the end. The next page, the average is 29 miles per hour. As you guys are aware, the speed limit is 20. So the majority of the people are going about 10 miles an hour over, which is what Chief confirmed as well. Towards the end of this, as we were taking these speeds, Chief Romberg actually came, and then they slowed down a little bit.
Amazing how that
happened. Yep. Yeah.
And he's there, I think, pretty much every day, aren't you?
Try to be.
We see him a lot there. One of the highest speed that we recorded was 41 miles an hour, which is over double. And again, that's coming downhill. It's a nice smooth road. It's fairly wide open. I don't know necessarily think that people are just saying, you know what, we're thumbing our nose at the speed limit here. I think they're just comfortable driving that fast. And when it comes to speed, one of the recommendations is probably going to be one of those flashing speed signs. I found that for me, myself, those seem to work pretty well. As everybody who's traveled through Evanston knows, when you see that flashing, you tend to slow down and elsewhere. And so I think it's a good reminder. Again, we're not to the point yet. We've collected the data, and then Ryan and our traffic engineer are going to really dive into that and come up with some recommendations from a traffic engineering standpoint, tell you exactly what you have and what that means and some recommendations on where to go with that. Then the next page is a nice graph. We installed our traffic counters. You can see just like what we knew. Now you have the data to back you up. When school's there in session or right before school starts and right after it lets out or right before and after, then you have a big spike. The last page, I thought this was interesting. So this was the intersection study. And the way this works is we counted traffic, and we'll say, let's go to northbound. So slide over to the northbound lane. So from 7 to 7:15, there were 56 vehicles that were traveling on the highway going north. So westbound is obviously coming down this way. Eastbound's headed up First Avenue, and then southbound. As you move down between 7:45 and 8, while everybody's rushing to get to work and to school, 139 vehicles in those 15 minutes, and 26 of those turned right coming up First Avenue. So every one of those northbounders that are turning right, obviously are going to elementary, or the vast majority there on First Avenue. And the southbounders, you can see that there's not many that are coming from the south that are turning. Actually, there are. I was looking at the wrong column. Just like we anticipated as well, there's a bunch of left-hand turns going up First Avenue. And as you just look at that data, you see an awful lot of vehicles. So the first series of rows is in 15-minute increments, and then the second series is in hour increments. And for a small community, you know, that's a lot of vehicles that are they're coming through those time frames. So again, as as we mentioned to begin with, we've collected the data, and we tried to collect about, you know, a week's worth on the traffic counters themselves, and then just a typical day when school was in session on how things were going, and we didn't do it the day it snowed, so, you know, everybody slows down on those type of days. We wanted to know really what it was, and as you can see, we have an issue with speeding on there. Now, one of the things that has benefited us quite a bit is when the town decided to construct that turn lane, the right-hand turn lane off of First Avenue, and it's really helped. If some of you have gone to the high school and are coming up Swift Creek Lane, and there's no right-hand turn lane there, and so if somebody wants to turn left, the cars back up, you know, 20, 30 cars until that person is able to turn left, and we're not seeing that here, which is really good. So I think the main issue that we have right now is basically just the speed, that people are more comfortable traveling faster than they should be. So with that, that's the data. Chief, did you have anything you wanted to add as far as the collection of data?
No, like I said, you've confirmed what I have said. I would point out to the town council, though, when school's not in session, say the weekend, that whole street is actually 25. So just
good point.
Wanna,
yeah.
Wanna make sure we're aware of that.
Okay.
So.
Just like any other town street.
Yep.
Okay. Good point. So with that, Mayor, any questions on the data that's here?
I don't. I'm glad TV said 25 because the stats were showing we're 10% of doing it and everybody else is screaming it. So, okay. I don't have any other questions. You bet. I'm so sorry. I missed the name.
That's right. I'm Deborah Eisen.
Okay.
I wrote the letter to you last time.
Okay. Okay.
And we're not quite to that point yet. We'll probably come back next month with some recommendations.
Okay.
So this is really just the first phase of the data collection, and then we can dive into that with some recommendations, which you may be more interested in. But you're right. Deborah lives there, and she lives it every day.
So, Deborah, and in all honesty, this process is in play. You wrote us a letter, and we're following through and getting what we need to know to do something. No, it's right here. I promise you, it's front and center right now. Thank you. Yes, legal.
I find that if you put railroad ties in the middle of the road, it's supposed to be allowed. I do that every spring. But seriously, Mayor, I had a question for Jason. When you refer to the right-hand turn lane on First Avenue, is that the one as you're coming down First Avenue, traveling west towards Washington?
Yes.
And then there's a right-hand turn lane.
Yeah.
Correct.
So I probably drive on First Avenue as much as anybody. Though the paint, is there a plan to repaint those soon? Or, well, not that.
We repaint it every year, but
okay.
Sometimes it gets worn out.
It's really hard to see. Like the arrows are kind of small and the lanes,
yeah.
and people are in the wrong lane all the time. I even do it myself when I turn right. Well, when I turn from either direction on First, sometimes I'll get on there and realize, oh rats, I'm in. I'm going down the wrong. You know, lane,
we
and so
we repainted them twice this year.
Yeah,
but maybe we just need to do that more often. Usually, we get a good coat down before the snow comes, but then
yeah.
generally there's snow covering everything, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
and one of the confusing things is you're going down, and we've painted the lines, or the town's painted the lines in the past. You know, so they're straight,
mm-hmm.
which gives you all kinds of room to the right, and people just stack up there, and
yep.
sometimes you're three deep. When you only should be two.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's nice to have. That lane. Not the stacking up. I mean,
but right,
but
to
yeah,
be able to turn right there
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
So I'll go last, but anything else to add, Jeff?
No, not this time.
Abby?
My only thought would be with regard to recommendations, aside from just the speeding part, the portion of it, if we need to look at something that addresses the volume of traffic per street or, you know, on that street, which I know that there's not a lot of options right now, but if there's something that you guys have a recommendation for.
Okay, I've got a note of that. So what's kind of funny or interesting about that is we've got Ryan, who's our specialist, and then we've got our guys in Salt Lake that live it and breathe it. And you know, what we think's a lot of traffic, they don't. You know, from a standpoint of, you know, what's really a problem and what isn't. But compared to every other street in Afton, I mean, this gets the vast majority of the traffic, and I think that's how we need to approach it. So that's a good point.
Thank you.
Tom?
Yeah, I'm glad we're
just one second.
Trying to solve the problem. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, Mrs. Merritt.
Does that study, or this study, include the street that goes by Afton Elementary on the Hill property?
On the Hill property?
On the other side?
Oh, no, the undeveloped road?
Right.
No, that's private property.
So potentially a recommendation could be in the future that street becomes part of the town of Afton and is maintained, and then you've got two coming in, and which should reduce the traffic by half. But again, that's going to be in the future down the road and quite expensive to do.
So I'll answer that better and differently. That property could be developed if the owners of the property wanted to develop it and then adopt it to the town, and it would then become a town road as any other road. So yes, could be, but at the moment it's not on a plan for us to pave it or to develop it because of the cost. We typically have developers do it and then we adopt a road. So yes, could be. At the moment, no. So yes. I can't answer to that one, to be honest with you.
I can speak to that just a little bit in regards to the development agreement we had with Rockbridge Development. That was not a road that they were going to be required to put in because they don't own the property. So that property between the edge of the parking lot for Brolums and the Rockbridge subdivision is owned by Mr. Hale and the school district. So it's not owned by the town and it's not owned by Rockbridge. So, but just like JC was saying, generally a developer will bring the road up to spec and then dedicate it to the town. But we don't want to take on a road that we don't own the property for until it's brought up to spec. Otherwise, the cost of redoing it and maintaining it rests on our shoulders and the taxpayers' dollars.
And one thing to point out, I think that the town needs to have some credit for is Brolums wanted to expand to the south, and which would have taken that road right out of any future consideration. And the town decided not to let them do that because they do own an easement through there and have a master plan. Again, it's just a master plan until, as the mayor mentioned, people want to do something about it. But they didn't want to go against their master plan and leave that option open in the future.
And I'll give kudos to the previous mayor. He did that. He really sat down and said, we eventually need this road. We're not naive. But at the moment, please don't take this away from us, and they agreed to. So I give kudos to that. So
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yep.
Marla's gonna come.
Marla?
I just quick question for Jason. So how do you determine what the appropriate speed is on a street? Just curious, I don't know that I've ever looked that up in research. Why is it 20 or 21 or 25 or 30?
I believe the state of Wyoming is determined in a school zone it's 20 miles an hour, and that's just the way it is there. The town of Afton has adopted 25, and I'm not exactly sure why that was the case, other than they wanted to be, you know, friendly for the walkers and the kids that are going to be playing in town. And you see most towns that have adopted that as well. So, Chief, maybe that's a state thing too.
Is there some guidelines?
That I really don't have the answer, but kind of what you were given, the side streets definitely. So that's why we do have, it's 25 miles an hour on all the side streets, except we're posted, which, you know, we've got the 30 and the 25 through here. Those were established, I believe, by the highway department.
Way
yeah.
back when. And to I guess, get finally did the answer your question, Marlo. When you do a traffic/speed study, and you want to present that in order to get your speed limit changed, if it's something that you don't want to see, basically what it is it's a speed that people feel comfortable driving. And so I can't remember the exact percentage, but it's somewhere around the 80% mark. If 80% of the people are traveling at this speed, that's the speed they feel comfortable with, and it's very difficult to get any type of a DOT to reduce the speed if people are traveling, you know, at that speed.
You're saying that's a YDOT specification when you're trying to change speed limits on one of those streets?
That's correct. And I think it's somewhat adopted in other situations as well. Obviously, the town would have final say on their streets. But 25 seems to, everybody seems to push it by 5, so you hate to have it 30 and become 35.
So go ahead, I'll finish and then we'll move on. Go ahead.
Are there, so in recommendations, do the lights work? The flashing? Are we talking the digital one that tells you your speed or just the flashing speed limit sign?
The digital one that tells you your speed. And yeah, they've been shown to actually work. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be I'm not going to say an extensive list, but there'll be a list of recommendations, and you know they're going to be more expensive or less. Obviously, you know, get to the point where you've got one of those signs, and they take photos of license plates and send people a citation for speeding. I mean, that's a possibility. I don't think
that's Europe.
Yeah, we'd necessarily want to go that way, but I mean, something like that would be a possibility.
Mr. Myers.
Who establishes the zone of where that speed limit starts on the school zone? Is it the district? Is it the state?
It's not the
state of Wyoming.
It's not the district.
Yeah, the state of Wyoming has set the 20, like Jason was saying, has set the 20.
Well, I mean, where it starts on that street, because you're so far down at 20 miles an hour, mm-hmm. the school still.
I think there's a certain linear footage that you have to have before the school entrance, and that is dictated by the state as well, along with their speed limit.
I think also isn't that one of the safe routes to school?
It is.
And
yeah.
So that would be another reason why it would be 20 clear down towards.
Because there's a sidewalk there.
Yeah, because of the sidewalk and because of that route.
Mr. Myers, to your question, we'll have to do some reading. It's a good question. No, I don't necessarily have an answer.
I don't have that off the top of my head
yeah.
either. Our recommendation would probably be to leave it 20 because it's so hard to change within half a block area.
Mr. Myers, when you come to our next meeting and you're appointed, we'll have a conversation about it. So Mr. Myers is our next council member. I would like to, if there's no further comment, to end and move to the next agenda. Chief, I do ask, and I've seen you. You're great. But holy smokes. 41 miles an hour plus, if you look at the percentile at that 25 mark or above, the majority are just flash the light, Chief. They just slow down, just pop a light.
And I've been doing that, Mayor, when I'm sitting there doing the school zones. He said, it was showing the traffic, said, I show up, woof, boy, you just see a dramatic change. And we know when the high times are, you know, and again, with my manpower,
Chief, you do a great job. I've been in there. I've looked down. You're sitting there. Just, man.
And
help us out.
Just to point out, too, Mayor, there are other streets. The one between the, what is that, Warrior Way between high school? I mean, the same thing. He polices that. You know, and I just move around as my kids get older, you know, to where I see the police chief flashing these lights and watching, and you know that really helps me slow down. And so I understand you can't be everywhere at once, but it does work when he is there.
Thank you, Mrs. Merritt. Thank you for the letter. We will continue.
It's
and
Isaac.
Where did I get? I'm so sorry, Mrs. Isaac. One, apologize for that. Two, it's fixed. Mrs. Isaac, thank you for the letter, and we'll follow through and just have narrative. So thank you. Moving along, we'll come to town administrator's report, the financial statements for November 2020. Any questions?
Not for me.
Okay. Okay, no questions, Violet, any narrative to add or?
To the financial statement, I would just ask if nobody has any questions with the financial statements that were in your packet, then can move forward to finding out what needs to.
We're still early enough in the year, it looks great no matter what we do, so, thanks.
Well, and I think you could tell that our, Barbara's right in regards to our sales tax numbers and tourism dollars are gonna be increased for a while because of the increase of people we have here. I think we've also had an increase because of just the urban flight that's taking, what's happening. People flocking to our area, so it'll be interesting to see with the cold weather and the snow if that sends people home, so to speak.
Return flight?
Yeah, return flight, yeah. Okay, so moving into planning and zoning, the first application, to be reviewed for planning and zoning is an application for civil subdivision by Boss Vision LLC, Jenny's and Mandy Boss. I think you guys all had a chance to review my staff report, but maybe we'll let Marlo kind of get his take on it, or unless you'd like me to just review it.
Go ahead, it's pretty, I'd say, pretty straightforward, go ahead.
It is, let me pull this up so everybody will have a chance to see it on the screen. That's not the one I want. I like the colored ones because it gives people context to where it's really located in town.
Speaking of.
It's on first.
And both of these will have.
Access.
Access offers on it. So the applicants are requesting to be able to subdivide, the property here. This was lot one of the Tittenser subdivision, and so that will be, they're attempting to create lot three and four of Tittenser subdivision. So, creating two lots, this one here, lot four will become a flag lot. So within the subdivision, they have done what is required in our town code, which is to have the 30-foot street frontage here. Oh, I didn't realize that was a little still up there. Let me zoom in just a little bit more. This 30-foot street frontage here, which is required within our developer, or within our development codes for flag lots. So they've done that here. Both of the lot sizes are consistent with what is permitted within the code. There is a shown easement through here. So this is a 20-foot utility easement that comes through, which will be shared by both lots. This easement line right here does contain a 6-inch sewer line and a 4-inch water line, which would be able to serve most likely lot 4 with the water and sewer and lot 3 with the sewer. We also do have our new water line off of First Avenue, on the south side of First Avenue, which could serve lot 3, so they wouldn't need to necessarily come off of this 4-inch line, but even if they were attempting to do so, depending on what they're going to put there, there would be enough capacity. The one thing that was discussed in both the utility board and planning and zoning board meeting was that there is a current easement through here for the West Afton Sprinkler Company, and so one of the recommendations for approval or conditions of approval was that be outlined in the final plat before you guys approve for the mayor to have it to sign it.
Sorry, can I ask a naive question that I forgot last night? West Afton Sprinkler, kind of give me
company.
What?
They're an irrigation plant.
They take water out of Swift Creek up at the,
yeah,
where the head gate is in the fenced area.
All line, right? Underneath line, in a line.
And it's all underground.
In a
it
line.
It comes down through your park,
mm-hmm,
and it's in the First Avenue, goes down the south side of First, goes through the south of the Civic Center. Big 3-foot line, 3-foot diameter.
Okay.
Goes down and basically irrigates everything west of Afton, clear down to Jody Kennington's or where Kilroy's just bought.
Okay. Violet, we as a town, that's not an adopted water line on
no,
our
that
has
own.
Nothing to do with the town. It's
okay.
100%.
West
Afton Sprinkler
Company
is a company of
landowners.
Okay.
And they own that pipeline and have the easements.
Dry Creek Irrigation, same concept.
Similar to Dry Creek,
yeah,
Irrigation, except it's not a district. It's a company, although they're looking to form a district.
Okay.
So, and then just like anywhere, any road in town, our sewer and water lines are located within the right-of-way, so therefore it doesn't need to be depicted as a separate easement for
okay.
utility purposes.
Thank you.
And this pipe is actually in your right-of-way. there may be an overlapping easement on the private land of the south is what they wanted us to show, if there is an easement there.
Okay.
So we're losing the check on that.
Thank you.
Very likely there is.
Yeah, so one thing that I would just point out is that obviously in regards to, this isn't gonna extend our own infrastructure. Whatever they do to hook onto sewer or water is gonna be on their own dime and time, and that's gonna be with the service line. They're not gonna have to extend infrastructure. We're not gonna have to take on anything new, or create any new roads. However, both accesses to this property, which was already established before when it was just lot one, is gonna be off of First Avenue. So this will be two other accesses onto First Avenue. However, I don't feel as though that should be a bearing on a consideration for a simple subdivision. That would come across in the building permit process. If we had any concerns on where the access for lot three was gonna be, we know the access for lot four is gonna be back here, far enough away from from Washington Street. We could look at it and see what the best place would be for.
But they're gonna have regulations that's gonna keep them off of.
Certain, I think it's probably gonna be similar to where Fairfield is at up here. Oops, sorry. The computer doesn't wanna work.
Sorry, why is she doing it? Any questions, council? Jeff?
It would be probably similar to like right here.
Okay, thank you. Jeff?
No, I talked to Jim Voss last night. I think his anticipation is to build on lot four instead of lot three, till the back lot.
That's correct.
And that, I think, is what his is to put the, his, because he doesn't really need the, he doesn't need the visual of the highway and that, which was kind of nice to hear, because I wondered what would go back there. But I also don't think that, because I kind of look, if he's back there, as far as traffic goes in the morning, I don't know what time he opens, but if he doesn't open till 9, it's kind of past that peak traffic flow, and then there's not a lot of traffic on that road. But that, of course, at this time, it's not really a consideration for what we're talking about. We're just talking about the subdivision here, so.
And obviously, both lots would be required to have separate hookups for both water and sewer.
Okay. Abby? Sorry, go ahead. Abby?
No questions.
Tom?
None.
Legal?
I was just gonna say, it's not legal, just practical. I was gonna say almost all the people turning south off of First Avenue are turning right there already anyway. So it doesn't create yet another slowdown or stop point. It's actually, the only thing that's gonna divide the two is the fence and a row of trees, eventually.
Which you have right here.
The fence, there's no fence there. There's no fence north and south right there where your pointer is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we'll put some trees in there, but otherwise everybody's gonna be turning either right into one of those driveways or left into one of those driveways,
yeah.
Basically.
Because Dale already, as you can't see it in this depiction, but Dale has his building right here.
But that's where every
lot is right here, so everybody's already turning.
Right there,
to get
where she, yep.
Into
yep.
Dale's property.
Yep.
So.
I do have a zoning question for this, Violet. If they won't change that zoning up into lot three, to commercial, or they'll leave it as is at this moment.
Both lots are currently zoned as general commercial, as is most of the lots that front Highway 89.
So they already are on
general commercial.
Thank you. Okay.
I believe they're all general commercial.
Okay.
Yeah.
The only other thing, just clarification, two things that Bob was talking about. One is the 20-foot easement on that divides the lot, and that's an existing easement of
mm-hmm.
sewer water coming from the apartments that has excess capacity that could be used by these lots. The other one is she's pointing out that YDOT will not provide an approach to Highway 89.
Correct.
Yeah,
there's
so
just
both
no
access.
Chance.
Yeah.
Both
so it'll have to come from
that. Okay. I agree with that.
So just so the council is aware, the utility board and the planning and zoning board both recommended approval with conditions that utility that any easement for purposes of irrigation with West Afton Sprinkler Company be depicted on this portion of the plat right here, which Marlo has agreed to investigate to see if how far it might be coming into that private property there, and that'll be depicted on the final plat before the mayor signs it. So
okay, so I would call for a motion. adding, as Violet has given to us, conditions for this motion, for the motion to approve a simple subdivision for Voss Vision.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Will. Second?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
I didn't vote.
Assistant, you're?
I recuse.
Recuse, okay. Violet, would you take us through Allen Hatterley Simple Subdivision?
I don't like the non.
It did not say. Yeah, because we didn't want that. So, Will, I would ask you to amend your motion to also include the mayor to sign. Did you amend that?
Yeah.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you, Lisa. Violet, sorry, go ahead.
So this property involves the Hatterley Farm tract owned by the Hatterley family. What they would like to do is divide off lot 17 and create lot 17 here, right here, which would encompass their house. So that way they can just have it divided for this versus on state planning. The lot is most of this property up here is currently zoned general commercial, and then all this back here is zoned agricultural. It's just been that way for years, just like we kind of said in the last application. Almost everything fronting Highway 89 on Washington Street is general commercial. This house being in here and them creating this new lot would not require them within our current code to rezone or do anything like that, just because there's an existing house. There's lots of existing houses in the general commercial district on fronting Washington operating under the non-conforming usage clause, and we have not required anybody else who's subdivided off Washington to rezone that has had existing homes.
Okay.
So this would be another one of those things where, because a new lot has been created, if there's ever a division of ownership for either of these pieces, a new separate water and sewer hookup would be required. There was some communication and conversation last night with the utility board and Kinsey on whether or not Allen already has a water hookup and a separate meter on this piece of property, because he does currently have water out here in the old milking barn. Allen came in and talked to me this morning, and he said, I know I have water out there, but I don't know if I have a separate meter. Larry's pretty certain that he has a separate meter. So we were going to try and look into that today to see. Obviously, if he doesn't have a separate meter, but he is still receiving water on this piece of property, I don't necessarily think that we would require him to create an additional hookup on a meter, because everything is still current ownership. I expressed to Allen this morning that until the ownership change, he wouldn't have to create a new
And you're comfortable with that? We've done that before, or held to that standard? Okay.
So I have a question.
Question.
So if there is a separate meter there and we don't know about it, how's it getting billed for water?
Currently, Allen only receives one bill. That's why we were going to look into it. So, and obviously if there is a separate meter there, I don't know why we've never separated it off into two bills, but obviously one of them isn't getting read if there is two there,
right?
Because it would come on the system. So
would there be a meter bit without a hookup?
I think there could be.
So my answer is yes, because there's one up on by the district office, because we abandoned it when we abandoned Hapton Elementary School. So that is an answer is yes, it's possible.
I think you're going off of Larry's institutional memory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're gonna verify that.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's
I would,
what we're doing.
Yeah,
but
I would agree.
If the ownership changes hands, it would need to be a separate lot. So essentially when the owner or this service line would have to be abandoned that's currently here, because if this barn is receiving water off of the house's service line, then that would need to be abandoned if the ownership changes, and a new service line or meter pit would need to be installed.
Is that
you
a
probably
con-
have that all in your
condition?
It's all in conditions of approval, yeah.
Okay.
And it will be all outlined in the notice of determination that will go to the owner.
right, so I would ask you to give us the full motion then on this one, because I don't know if I grabbed everything you just said right.
So it'll be motion to approve contingent upon separate water and sewer hookup for each lot as soon as ownership changes.
Okay.
That significant alterations to the plat would require further permitting, and that the final plat is to be filed within 2 years from the date of the final plat approval.
Okay, so I apologize. I see those three conditions. I thought you had added a fourth on the zoning if they separate that.
No,
that's not
no
a condition.
Requirement to rezone, no.
Okay, thank you.
I was just letting you know that, because for some people it's confusing, because here is a farm land that's part agricultural, part commercial. It was, so for anybody who doesn't know, this whole area here used to be the old church farmland, I guess. Before the Hatterleys purchased it. Was it owned by somebody else before
Hatterleys?
Well,
maybe.
Boyd
Evans owned it before Hatterleys
okay.
had it.
But either way, that doesn't matter. Most of this is agricultural. Most of this is currently zoned agricultural and is still used as that. All this up here is general commercial. Obviously, they do operate and utilize some of this space for Triple H Landscaping, which is a commercial business within the town of Afton and surrounding areas. This lot here, which is creating just a house, would not require a rezone because there are other areas within the town of Afton that front Highway 89 in a general commercial district that we have not required rezone when they have just subdivided and broken it up into just the house.
Okay, so that's where I was stuck on.
Yeah, and so there's
okay.
not a condition. I was just letting you know.
Okay, it's not a condition.
By the way, to answer your question, yes, it was originally part of the church farm, and then Boyd bought it from them, and then they bought it back from them.
Okay. Okay, so then I would move forward with the motion, as Violet has identified conditions of approval, 1, 2, and 3, the alterations, the separate hookup for sewer and water, the final plat to be filed within 10 years of date of final plat approval, and to authorize the mayor to sign the plat. I call for that motion.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Next on the agenda, town attorney report. Do you have anything to report?
Nothing unless we go into executive session.
Okay.
Just for
attending? No, that's for your service on the tourism
board. Okay, I go into new business to appoint planning and zoning board member to replace Ms. Gay Peterson. Violet, do you want to introduce or move forward with that?
Yes, so I had a long conversation with Mr. Billy Kennington, who is interested in serving on our planning and zoning board. He did actually attend our meeting last night and was still excited to potentially be on the board after the meeting. So with that, I would recommend for appointment of Billy Kennington to planning and zoning meeting.
Thank you. I take a motion to appoint Billy Kennington to the planning and zoning board. Is that for a 4 year period? 4 year appointment?
No.
We don't have
Our current code states 3 years.
Okay.
But people have surpassed that.
Okay. I call for a motion to appoint Billy Kennington to the planning and zoning board.
I'll move.
Second it?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Will. Motion carries. Continuing business, we had nothing that we added together as town council. Correspondence, there's a letter from the state of Wyoming Department of Revenue. This comes yearly as a government entity. Do you have anything to add, Violet?
No. You guys were able to see the letter in the packet, weren't you?
Yeah. Okay, so now we're number 12, open discussion. Anything to bring to open discussion for the agenda? Jeff?
Nope.
Abby?
No.
Tom? Legal?
Nothing.
Okay, I do have maybe a...
Did you ask Will?
Oh, Will. I'm so sorry, Will. I bypassed you. Will? Open discussion? No. I would like to...
I've got one thing.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead, Will.
So I had somebody approach me. Sorry, I don't know if you can hear me very well. I had one person that really knew, and they were on their street, their driveway. They just wanted to, I guess they wanted the town to take care of buying that, or if that's Rock Bridge, or if they can, you know, I guess that was one of the questions they had about plowing roads, and I wanted to bring that up and find out.
So,
what happened there.
Will, I'll be honest with you, we didn't hear the whole problem. I felt like as a drive-through window ordering McDonald's. Could you just state it again? I'm so sorry. I hear you clearly now, so go ahead.
So, I had a Rock Bridge resident approach me and ask if Rock Bridge maintains their roads in the winter, if the town does. Part of their, right by their house, it was kind of missed plowing in snow this last round, so they were a little concerned about that.
Will, can I send you just directly to Violet for that, and then she'll coordinate with the roads, in all honesty, yes?
Okay.
Thanks for the concern, but in that capacity, I'll just probably send you directly to Violet. I do have a thought for us really fast, for us as a town council. I ask you to adopt an agenda, we do an agenda, people submit things to do it, we go down through the agenda, and then I hit open discussion. That's like a free-for-all. So I guess I'm asking the council, if we have things we want to add, let's add it. If not, I'm going to ask that I take the word open discussion off an agenda that I make it a motion to adopt. any qualms?
Are you opening that up to the audience on open discussion, or is that open just council?
I would probably respond in this capacity. We as an elected official, we have always allowed, after every subject or item we discuss, we've allowed public opinion. So I wouldn't say I would limit, but we actually put it into the appropriate place versus having just an open discussion sitting in the middle of an agenda.
And when you call for any changes to the agenda at the beginning of the meeting, would you allow for people in the audience to ask you if they could come forth on delegations if they hadn't already been listed? That would be the only reason why I would say maybe we should leave the open discussion. In case we have somebody that comes to a meeting with a valid concern that needs to be immediately considered, and they want to be heard, but it's not going to come up in any of our other discussions, so it's already on the agenda.
Okay, so fair discussion. A thought to have is it breaks sideways and we give somebody the floor to talk about something that's not even on the agenda. Because I would actually ask them to directly correlate with you and then bring it to us as an agenda.
And that's fine. That's what I was
okay.
Asking.
I am asking to remove just this blank slate of open discussion on an agenda. Jeff, can I move forward? And if it doesn't work, then we'll come back and readopt. But it's just weird to me it sits here. Jeff's contemplating.
Yeah, I'm contemplating because.
Abby.
No, I don't have a problem.
Okay.
I've used it a lot, but I also know what I want to bring up when I come here, so I can add it as an agenda item, and that's just fine.
Fair. Will. Oh, jump, Tom. Anything?
I'd add as an agenda item to add it rather than just have the open discussion.
Okay, and just for open record, Mr. Myers in the back, who will be adopted in a month, can we move forward with not having this on here, and then if it comes to a point where we need to make a discussion, we're open in everything we do, so.
Yeah, I think that's acceptable.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to move forward ongoing.
Yeah, I have an open discussion.
Jeff?
I just came up. Kay. Just because he's here, I'd like to thank Tom for his service. I don't know if he will be here next month or not, but thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Agreeable, Tom.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would require that Tom come next month, please.
Tom, we would ask it. Thank you.
Drive up from St. George.
He's still here.
I'm
not going for a while.
Okay, I'll move forward with Permitter and Stirhill. Excited about what has happened, Violet and Jeff and everybody else. Go ahead, Violet.
I don't have anything else new to add other than what I had emailed you guys about, that the public comment period had sunsetted and that they didn't hear any open opposition to the idea of the town taking over the Star. So they're willing to issue us the permit. However, they didn't want to issue it as of yet because they don't want to approve any disturbance of ground as of yet, which was fine because by then we had received that little skip of snow and we didn't want to be doing anything on the land. There is a couple of requests that they have for more clarification based on the route and exactly what the construction of the Star is going to be, which will come forth in further discussion with the engineers and stuff like that in regards to the base structure of the Star and exactly what's going to go up there in regards to what is finalized with the light
Thank you. Jeff, anything add?
It's the Forest Service keeps you on a treadmill. You're always running uphill, it feels like, on this. So we just need to stay on top of this. Because if it moves to March or April and they decide that they're going to start looking at doing stuff on the forest, this will get put off again for another year.
So we just need to stay
on top of them. And if you see Justin Laycock, bug him about it.
Just remind him that we're waiting for the permit. I replied to Justin's email where he let me know how the public comment period went and everything, and then he had stated that there was some further clarification that they would need, and I responded to that and just let him know that I'm ready for him to let me know exactly what that clarification is he'll need from us so we can get that to him as soon as possible.
Okay, thank you. Abby, anything to add?
No.
Will, anything to add? Tom?
No, I don't.
Okay. Violet, we say it every month, but thank you. It'll be a great day when that switch goes on and the Elkhorn Arch looks awesome at night lit up. It's a pretty cool thing. So it's a neat tradition that I don't know when it started, but I'm glad we still continue it. So thank you. All right, First Avenue Traffic Feasible Study, we moved up to delegations. At this time, Violet, a call for a motion, executive session. Do you have anything to call for? Nope. Okay, so no motion to call for executive session. Item is interest for the council. We have every month a leave report, AFTA Municipality Court docket for November, or Town Board Appointments 2021. Talk to me about that.
That's just an FYI. I did notify all individuals that are serving on boards, and I did hear back from one, which was Mr. Hahn.
Yeah. Tourism Board.
And that was the only one. And then I had on there the PNZ, but that has been taken care of tonight.
So we'll have to be looking for somebody to appoint to the Tourism Board.
Okay.
And then usually in January, we appoint
all the members.
January. Okay, thank you. I am ready to conclude unless somebody else has something they want to add. This is kind of an open discussion, but I don't want to shut anybody out. Anything to add, Jeff?
Just FYI, I got a report of after the arch lighting later that night that we had people on top of the elk. There's video of it. I didn't get to see the video. I've informed Chief about that.
We don't
and
know
so
what the vid- where
we
the video
don't
is. We don't have a copy of the video.
Okay. Right, we just, so just FYI, apparently it's becoming a thing.
To climb the arch and get your picture taken. And if you're silly enough to post it, that's a great time stamp and a picture. Awesome, thanks. Abby?
Do we have cameras that capture it?
Not yet.
We don't currently have cameras, but one of the things that I don't know if Barbara highlighted on, along with the fiber that they have been able to install to all the homes and businesses within the valley without cost to them, they have, I don't know if they've gotten all the drops done, but to Canyon View, Starview, Cemetery, and the golf, the pro shop, which we have.
We'll
have fiber there in all those areas. So
we'll
be able to have really nice cameras.
Yeah. No, but yes, it's all in to do it.
Awesome.
So yes.
Okay.
Tom?
I don't have anything else.
Will, you have anything to add? Violet, anything to add? Okay, legal?
Nothing, thank you.
I would call for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Seconded?
JP?
Yes. Yeah.
Can someone from the public make any comment?
You bet. State your name.
This is Scott Griffith.
Okay, go ahead, Scott.
I just wanted to clarify, I'm the one that talked to Will about the snow plowing in Rock Ridge. And this is also related to what was discussed earlier about adopting a road. So we just completed our house there in Rockbridge this spring. And so that little section hasn't been plowed in the past. When I talked to Paul Sherbel, he said that we just need to get that little section of road adopted. That would include Scott Nicole Thompson's house and ours, that little spur off of Rockbridge Drive. That's what we were talking about.
Okay, so Scott, from my understanding, it's called a flag lot. So in essence, that road is not part of the adopted roads. That's a road that goes back into a, an area and it happens to be paved for your lot for selling that. Violet, anything to add on that? She's bringing up a map so we can look at that.
It's what's considered to be a flag lot, which is one of the things that we just approved for the Voss subdivision. That 30-foot street frontage, just like Scott's lot that we'll be able to pull up here and look at, is a private driveway and it's not a road.
So Scott, you'd have to bring that up to standard, get that surveyed, bring it into, you would then, well, if you have the legal rights to as a property owner, you would deed that to the town, we would adopt it as a road, and then we would maintain and plow it. But I, we've got a step here in the middle that we have to accomplish. Because that is a private road at this point.
And so although the Thompsons access that same road, it's because they have an easement. And so the reason they have an easement to get to their property, so they're not just driving straight off of Rock Ridge Drive into their lot, they're utilizing that same private drive, so to speak, that they maintain an easement for right of ingress egress to their lot on.
Hey Scott, I would send you to Lincoln County's website, GIS, because we're looking at it right now through Abby's, and it shows that ownership, and that is private all the way back to your house. You own that road plus your house. You'd have to bring that, in essence, you'd be a developer. You'd bring that up to standard.
Do you have
okay.
But they got to bring it up to standard, though.
So would the first step be to contact the county?
Okay, so I'm out of line here for a second. The word we use is a flag lot. We don't have legal adopted in our ordinances to do or to take over flag lots. So Voss Vision is a perfect example. We just did tonight. They come off First Avenue. The front lot, they divide it in two. They'll be on the back lot. The front lot will be one that they sell. That private driver, that flag lot back to that corner is private property. So Scott, have you talked with Scott?
I talked to Scott once before and then I also talked to Kamala, his wife.
Okay, Scott, I think we need to have
I've never talked to Violet about this.
Well, you called me right after you guys purchased your lot, Scott.
Can I?
The only phone call I made to you was regarding setbacks.
Okay, Scott, can I send you, other than that we're on a public recorded mm-hmm. meeting, can I send you to Violet and you guys can discuss what we do and the ordinances and how that works in this capacity?
And yeah, absolutely.
You bet. So let's go that first route and then you can come back to the council in a second round, but let's at least sock to the first part so we know how to do it.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you, Scott.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, I call for a motion to adjourn. I call for a motion to adjourn, call for a second. We had second. Okay, so I call for a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries, meeting adjourned. Thank you.